Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower, and this is another show dealing with metaphysics and spirituality. Tonight, we're going to kind of be on, I would say, the historical side of metaphysics, dealing with the last, the last 65,000 years of the development of the Atlantean civilization. For those of you who may or may not believe in that, you can call in and talk to me about this subject. If you're in the U.S., give us a call at 877-876-5227. Those of you in Canada, try 888-815-9756. Okay, so I've had shows on this subject before, but when we usually get to the end of the show, I'm crunched on the time to deal with the last days, so to speak. And I want to start talking about this subject in reference to the end, you might say, of how the Atlantean civilization really destroyed itself, but also had to be destroyed, both from external forces as well as its internal ones. And I think some of it may be relevant to what's going on in the world right as I'm speaking. Some things that are happening in current events can't even be related to these times in antiquity, dealing with this period of human history, prehistory, in which there was an attempt to create a civilization that would become virtuous and develop our planet in a way that would drive out evil and hopefully make the world a better place. Unfortunately, the opposite took place. And let me begin. Around 75,000 years ago, give or take, the Atlantean epoch was mostly dominated by people who thought mostly with their astral mind rather than their mental mind. Now, what is that like? What does that mean? It means that they use their creative imagination more than they use their logical thinking. Now, this is not such a bad thing because it can result in people developing those elements that we still find in our societies today, in which there is a lot of, we'll say, new ways of looking at the world, sort of openness almost to being creative in itself, and also a reliance upon the astral body as being more developed and accurate than even the mental body. We do the opposite today, and we have for thousands and thousands of years, human beings have, been relying mostly on, more on our logical thinking apparatus and less on our imaginative thinking. That's not to say we don't have imaginative thinking, and it's not to say that some people don't actually rely upon it more. But overall, on an average, most people actually think more using their mental thinking than their astral imaginative thinking. And so what does this mean? This means that their society was based strongly on how they felt and their desires, and in creating from these desires, using their imagination, solutions that for them worked, and sometimes better than our society actually works with us trying to figure out things in a more logical and more mental way. And the difference is that they live more for the moment, and we live more for a totality of time, looking at our past, the moment of time in present, but also much more so towards our futures. And people who use their creative imagination to a dominant level think more right now. This is the time that they're concerned about how things are going to happen in 10 years, 20 years, 100 years in the future is not as big a deal for them, because they live in a time that is very focused on their immediacy. Their desires actually guide them in that, but also their minds in general sort of focus that way. When you use your creative imagination and you don't use logic, the future kind of goes out the window. And memory of the past gets distorted by feelings that people have of the present. Many people still do this, by the way. It's not a good thing, because in today's world, not looking at the future can be very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Okay, so this is the way things were 75,000 years ago, and there was, at that time, the development of what was considered to be the seventh sub, some people call it race or grouping of Atlantean peoples, using mostly the seventh ray in terms of their development, which means that they were good at managing things. They had a strong sense of how to economize and use what they had and synthesize it in ways that would be effective for them. They also, unfortunately, were relatively greedy and superficial, tremendously aggressive, and sometimes brutal. And so for all of these reasons, this was not the best time in the Atlantean period or for human beings in general. Now, some of you might say, yeah, but there isn't much evidence that there was an Atlantean people and all this other stuff. Well, let me tell you. Now, I wrote Life's Hidden Meaning. The dominant parts of it were written in the early 90s, 92, 93. And it didn't get to the marketplace till 1999, but that's because of a large effort in editing and doing the drawings and the pictures, et cetera. And it took quite a bit to make a book of this size and complexity. At any rate, so in 1992-93, I was talking about, in lectures and in articles and also in what I wrote in Life's Hidden Meaning, that human beings were developed from about 75,000 years ago until about 55,000 years ago, more like we are today, and that there would be eventually proof of this. But back in those days, interestingly, which was not 15 years ago, that wasn't that long ago, most people would have disagreed with that. As a matter of fact, most archaeologists and biologists and others would have said, well, no, there's no evidence that that's true. And interestingly, in the last couple of years, it's been discovered, due to, the theory at least, due to a volcanic eruption in the Pacific and other issues, that humanity was squeezed and changed radically to the point where the more modern versions of humans, at least as we understand them today, genetically speaking, seem to come about. That doesn't mean there weren't somewhat more, we'll call them modern versions of humans, at least going back over 110,000 or 115,000 years ago. But the point is that this was like a hallmark. There's something that definitely changed. But these results come from people who are living in Africa. And the interesting part about this is that the people who were living on Atlantis, there's no record of, because they were pretty much obliterated, except for a very, very small number. And that happened much later. So what we're looking at are people that were left in Africa who were attempted to be developed into a new type of human being. You might say, developed by who? And we say, well, I'll tell you, it's members of the next kingdoms, greater than human, that were involved in some of this. And they were trying to help develop a more mentally focused, instead of, we'll call it, astrally focused person. And some people call this the new race of people, and that's true. A race different than the Atlanteans. It's us, basically, was the attempt to do it. And there were seed groups of these people around, even 100,000, 110,000 years ago. And some of those seed groups actually could be found in biological record as well. And unfortunately, these groups failed from about 75,000 to about 55,000 years ago. They failed. And the remaining groups became seed groups themselves because they couldn't be brought to the level where they properly used their mental apparatus and actually truly became a new race of people. And so they were still relying too heavily on their astral nature, even though they were somewhat in between who we are today and where people were in Atlantis back in those days, a long time ago. Okay, so this is a fascinating idea that we have something called de-evolution that takes place that is different from normal evolutionary ideas, but one that I have promoted for a long, long time, going back decades there, that basically we don't just evolve, we can de-evolve. We can actually go somewhat backwards, and the reason has to do with not just our genes, but the nature of the focus of energies on the planet and how we respond to those energies and how we are put together, we'll say. Some people of a prior race really would have a very hard time today trying to survive. Now, there are subparts to each race, and even they have a hard time when race change, surviving as a new sub-race has come into development. So all of these things play a big role in de-evolution. De-evolution is just the diminishment of sense. And as senses diminish, so does eventually consciousness and the civilization that the people enjoy or create for themselves as an extension of their senses. And they actually contract and become less and less effective at building a civilization. Let me give you an example. The sixth sub-race, okay, of the fourth general race, large race of Atlanteans, when they started to de-evolve, they, as most of these de-evolving sub-races do, went off and left the Atlantean landmass and actually headed into parts of northern Europe. And they developed themselves into what we call Neanderthals. That's where Neanderthals come from. I know some people would like to believe they come from other prior developed humans, but there isn't enough evidence to support this. Matter of fact, the evidence kind of supports the exact opposite, except for those who just want to make it up and say that that's how it happened. So there really isn't good evidence to support that Neanderthals came from, say, Cro-Magnon, or came from, well, Cro-Magnon would be after Neanderthals anyway, or came from the people who were hominids or earlier or later types of humans that developed into various branches of humans. It is just not credible because there were too many differences for these people to become the Neanderthals. And that's a problem because you kind of have a line of human beings that really can't be connected to any preceding line. And this has happened about three or four times in human prehistory. And the reason for it is that these people are really, they're not evolutionary. They're de-evolutionary results from, again, earlier peoples that lived either on Atlantis or Lemuria. And this creates this anomaly, which is a problem for people who are paleontologists trying to understand where these people come from. Now, they kind of stretch the truth sometimes and say, well, we can see where maybe this feature or that feature might have developed from this particular ancestor. But it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And as we get closer, if we ever do, to getting real DNA from these very early humans, we will be able, if that's possible, to determine that there are too many variants in their DNA to put them in the same class. And that's really the critical element. I hope we get there soon, but I don't know if we will. We're going to have to find some very, very old DNA that's still possible to sequence, and I don't know if we're going to be able to do that, but maybe someday they'll get a way of doing that. But in the meantime, so this de-evolutionary thing has been going on for a long time, and it is a big deal because it really confuses everybody, and it explains a lot more about how our world actually works. It doesn't get rid of evolution, because remember, it's still part of evolution. It's just de-evolution. It's not like saying, well, we should throw out evolution then, because it's all nonsense. Well, it's not all nonsense. Of course, evolution has a lot, makes a lot of sense. It's just that things don't go in only one direction, and that's where we have to be more careful in having an open mind about all of science, actually, is to look at every aspect rather than having a preconceived notion that it is just one way or another. All right, so during the time that I'm referring to, about 75,000 years ago, and a failure for over 20,000 years to create a race of people that is like more like us than the Atlanteans, there were several groups, about five of them actually, that didn't do too well, and that four or five, I should say, they didn't do too well, and that failed in achieving the desired results. But these people weren't just, you know, they weren't nuked or taken apart. They lived out lives and they had offspring. And so we're going to find in our searches, and these people are possibly much more likely, we'll find some examples of them, that these offshoots of us existed. And they have found one or two already, by the way. And so, and this is just in the last few years. So I find this so fascinating because there's some actual stronger and stronger evidence of the ideas that I have put forth. And so maybe someday someone might look, take them more seriously and check them out more in a scientific way. Okay, so eventually there was a race of people developed that to some extent became like us, you might say. But they were dominated by those that were still like the last race. Some people call that the fourth major race of people, with dominating the fifth major race of people, because they were not in numbers, nor in, we'll say, the way they had constructed up to that point their civilization, very well developed. Many of them lived in colonies of Atlantis to try to get away from the relatively destructive and hostile methods that they were treated, because they were different and they didn't live like the other Atlanteans around them. Some of them actually became spiritually disciplined and actually advanced in their capabilities over tens of thousands of years, but nonetheless got crunched. Because one of the things that was dominant of Atlanteans after about 55,000 years ago was that they became relatively paranoid, we'll say, among other problems. And instead of dealing with their more distant colonies, we'll call them, as being part of them, they started seeing them as being enemies to themselves, somewhat because there were this fifth race of people that dominated some of these colonies, and they seemed very different from what was the dominant element of thinking in a more emotional way and living for the moment more instead of thinking about the future. Who cares about the future, you know? And there was a schism, and so the dominant, Atlanteans started going after what were going to be their predecessors and killing them off or torturing them or doing terrible things to them. This is never a good thing because it obviously destroys a civilization for it to destroy parts of itself, because it is afraid of its own parts, particularly if those parts are superior in some ways, which they were, in terms of mental thinking, creative aspects of how to deal with the future, and that sort of thing. Now, the dominant part of Atlantean society lived on what were the remnants of the continent of Atlantis, which was a number of islands and several big, we'll call them, or large islands, but no longer any significant level of like a continent, because that had already broken up into two major parts and then broken into other pieces. And so there wasn't a lot of what you could call a continuity to the landmass, just as there wasn't as much continuity in the society itself. And there was a reason for that. Societies reflect very much the ways that people think and act so that they take on not only in the way that the people interact in their civilization, but even the land masses themselves are influenced over long periods of time by these aspects. Whoa. Because energy over a long period of time, with many people functioning through their thought, is affected by the thought of the people as well as their actions. And that's what was going on in Atlantis. And unfortunately, it caused the submergence of a number of parts of Atlantis. Now, you might say, well, how did that happen? And the answer is pretty simple. We've recently discovered this in the last 10 years or so, 15 years of our exploration geologically. We have discovered that along the Atlantic Ridge, the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, there has been huge upheavals of land masses and possibly subduction of land masses through violent changes in the ocean floor. And these are very deep places where there are great trenches and unusual things that have come and gone over time that we are unfamiliar with. And so suddenly a whole part of an island or larger could just literally disappear below the ocean and fall back into the earth where it had come up rather rapidly millions of years before. So we have the earth changing also sort of violently and quickly as these ray changes were involved coinciding with the changes in human race. Unfortunately, when humans become dark and destructive, the earth reflects the aspects of humanity because we are the most advanced kingdom that live in physical earth right now. And that is causing the earth to respond because energy can follow thought greater than its own and will, even if that thought is relatively dark. Interesting point. Okay, so what was going on then? Say 40,000 years ago, what was going on? Well, 40,000 years ago, Atlantis was destroying itself in a number of different ways. People were extremely greedy, very selfish. As much as 20-25% of the population was dark, as much as half of them were evil, and eventually as many of what as were dark 40,000 years ago turned to be evil 15,000 years ago. So the evil was progressing through the darkness, and evil is different than just being dark. Evil is a state where people seek to destroy life because they seek to destroy the growth of their own creator in some need for power and control because of the fear that their creator is going to usurp their ability to be in control. It's a bizarre kind of thought if you think about it, but that's how they thought, and it adds to this paranoia and the further abuse of peoples different from them. So it causes them to want to subject and in some cases destroy those that are different from them. Very important. This is what evil starts off as. It eventually leads to genocide, just so you know what I'm saying. It leads to the wanton destruction of human life for the sake of power and control. Now, I'm going to leave you at this half hour or so, or give or take, with the concept and thought about this, because I want you to think about what's going on in other parts of the world right now, especially in Georgia, you know, that not our state of Georgia, of course, but the country that has been invaded by Russia. Granted, the Georgians may have been a little overzealous in wanting to get the Russians out of their provinces, but the Russians have one purpose, and that is to destroy the country of Georgia and to wantonly kill as many people as necessary to gain power and control over them. Does that sound a little bit familiar from what I just told you? If it does, hold down the fort. Don't leave, because I'm going to be telling you a lot more about Atlantis and how it might relate to people of today. Because remember, there's a thing called reincarnation, and people do come back over and over again. And it's something to consider. We will be back ourselves in about 2.5 minutes or so, and I'll continue telling you more about the prehistory of Atlantis.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. M-A-C-F-L-O-U-E-R.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
We're back. This is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Of course, we're talking about metaphysics and spirituality and anything else that kind of fits in that subject range. If you'd like to call in, please do. And let me continue now with what I was saying as we went to break, and that is that there are some similarities in what we experience in our world today that actually started towards the end of the Atlantean period. Now, the good news is that one of the reasons Atlantis was almost completely wiped off the face of Earth is because it was so evil that to leave almost anything of it around would have reinstituted itself in a very short time. What it did do, unfortunately, is it left a big hole. Let me go back in time and explain. In the writings that I did, I said that Atlantis disappeared sometime around 9,000 BC. It's 11,000 years ago, plus or minus 10%. And the reason I put in plus or minus 10% is because the way I understand this material comes from how people remember in their own thoughts from that period of time who lived in the monastic or mental world, and it's in a thing called the monastic Akashic record. I'm not going to go into great detail, but the point is that it's not accurate. So even the most accurate elements of it, when you compare what everybody thought at that time, you still get wrong information. So I always say plus or minus 10% is about as close as we're going to get. And it just so happens, there's a strong element of proof in the last, less than 5 years, that has been discovered. And that is that there were these unusual periods of sudden changes in weather. I'm talking about within like a year or two, 10 at most, but probably a year or two. And these sudden changes happened at periods that I recognized and wrote about. as being significant because either large parts of Atlantis were being destroyed or at the end, towards the end, or the remainder of the last island of Poseidon has just totally disappeared. That was the final blow. And then I put down as 9,000 BC plus or minus 10%. Well, that would be 11,900 to 10,000, give or take, 100 years ago, if you put it in perspective. And what happened in that time was the very last sudden change in weather occurred at that time. And a couple thousand years before that, there had been another sudden change in weather that is unexplained. And you can say, well, what causes these changes in weather? Possibly the one before the last time may have been caused by both a comet or asteroid hitting the planet around the North Atlantic and affecting North America and the sea and changing the climate through various effects from that. But the more important element appears to be volcanic action taking place in the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. And that is the best explanation that anybody has come up with, and that is completely coinciding with my explanation of why or how Atlantis was, we'll say, gotten rid of, mostly from that effect. But the other things are also possibly true. You don't have to have just one single event. As a matter of fact, to get rid of that much land mass and to change the world so drastically, you usually need a few things. So this is not, it wasn't going to be one sudden change. It was going to be a number of things. Because there were a lot of people, a lot of human beings on Earth before these great catastrophes took place, and towards the end of them, there were very few left. So we can't get rid of everybody at one time. It usually doesn't work that way. Okay, so then what happened? Let's go back, say, to the virtual end of Atlantis. What was going on at that point that it was so terrible that about one out of four people were actually evil and they wanted to destroy life? And when you get that high of a level of evil people, it is so almost impossible to get from that point to build anything that's going to be virtuous that you just about have to throw in the towel and say, let's wipe the slate clean and destroy everybody but lose all of civilization, and you have to start all over again. Now, that's what happened. And unfortunately, to us today, when we look at that, to these, particularly these last two major occurrences, it looks exactly like that. Like all of human civilization virtually disappeared and we started all over again. But even the civilization that we are aware of before that seems very primitive in comparison to Atlantean civilization, because those peoples that we have discovered are the ones that we have can find something left of. Those are the people who lived in colonies or who were vagabonds and lived outside of the general mainstream of Atlanteans. And they were devolving. They were not moving ahead. And so to us, they seem primitive. And so our explanation is we'll see how primitive people were during that time. But there's a lot of anomalies in this. Tremendous number are finding some people that weren't as primitive longer ago than the people after them. Now, that doesn't make any sense, but that's true. That's what they're finding. But it's completely consistent with the idea of de-evolution. It's not consistent with evolution. So you end up with these kinds of, we'll say, red flags that tell us there's something else we don't understand about. And there is evidence also that there was a more advanced civilization, because there are things that were saved by spiritually disciplined people that kind of got new civilizations kick-started. This includes even parts of Egypt, but that's way, way later in terms of archaeology. And yet, it's almost like out of nowhere, people were able to suddenly use instruments that are used in building civilization, but there's no evidence that they developed it. They used more advanced mathematics. They used the ability to farm in ways that were unusually good. They did a lot of things that are almost incomprehensible. While just 1,000 miles away, others were living almost as prehistoric and living with those civilizations, because those were the people more affected by the de-evolution issues, and they were not necessarily genetically connected to the people who were doing so much better. The Sumerians, the people in Egypt, might have been doing exceptionally well, while 1,000 miles away in other parts of the Europe and or Africa, we don't see this happening. Well, or North America, for that matter. So there's a lot of, we'll say, unusual and contradictory elements to the development of people, and not a lot of good evidence to explain why. Except, of course, if you realize that in some places, spiritually disciplined people who kept some of the secrets, the mysteries of Atlantis alive, were able to reconstitute civilizations much more rapidly than those areas where that was not taking place. The good news is that today we have reconstituted some of the better elements of Atlantean society right in the United States, for those of you who are living and listening to me in the United States. And this is a good thing, and some parts of other parts of the world as well. The bad news is that some of the really bad dudes, the really nasty people who had lived in these, we'll call them latter days of Atlantis, continue to incarnate. And they continue to seek to control and destroy life. And in many cases, they gained power and control over countries or groups of people. And they had always a need and desire to be the leader, to be in control of others, and then to create a hierarchy of others underneath them who are in the same kind of, we'll call it, venue. But the problem with that is that the people who were, we'll say, more advanced but not necessarily seeking power and control didn't recognize that they had to do something about those that were seeking this, because they would eventually become destructive to them. And this is one of the elements about evil. Evil wants us to believe that it doesn't exist, because that's how it beats us. And if we finally figure out it does exist, then it wants us to become paranoid and believe everybody's evil, so that we overreact and do terrible things and destroying the freedoms of everything and everyone. So either way, it kind of has a way of dealing with those that aren't evil. And particularly in terms of the reincarnated elements of Atlantean society, which I believe do exist today and have for some time, but even more prominently in the last 100 years than in any time since Atlantis has actually gone down, I believe that there's a huge number of people that were very dark that have come together to kind of try to get control over this world and to do terrible things, more collectively than before the 100 years. Before the 100 years, you had individuals, and you had small numbers who were trying to do this and setting up little kingdoms and et cetera, but they weren't as large a number, and they weren't as well organized as is taking place today. The organization issue has to do with the fact and many of them are fixed along what is called the seventh ray, because it was the seventh ray Atlanteans that became the really dominant element of evil in that society. And that's where organization becomes a really, really strong element in their nature. Now, the organization in this case was to become destructive to life itself, us. I say us. I assume the people listening to this are not evil ones. They wouldn't be probably listening because they're too busy out trying to control everybody else. But so we're faced with this dilemma, because we have a kind of dichotomous world. On one side, the majority of people in the world today do not seek power and control to be destructive to life, and especially human life, because they are actually, in a secret way, against their creator. Even if they claim themselves to be religious, which sometimes is true, that's only said to use it as a cover for their behaviors. It isn't that they really believe in their creator, because if they did, And it isn't because they feel and think as their creator, because if they did, both of those, they would not behave in such an atrocious way. This is a problem because there's a minority of people, but sometimes the majority of people in a certain region or country who have this particular inclination, a very dangerous thing, because they have the desire to be destructive to the rest of us. And they seek to eliminate the first part of our Creator's own mind and thought, which is freedom. They don't want freedom for anyone except themselves. And then in an odd way, they're kind of confined or lose some of their freedom. They don't realize it by the fact that they're destroying themselves as they destroy others. But they don't see that. They don't see the connection between those, so they don't believe in that. But so they're in the illusion that the destruction of others is fine, the destruction of civilization of others is fine, provided that they gain more power and control. They're happy as you can be. You know, they say, oh, well, we're really, really glad this is going on. How do we overcome this without destroying the whole world again? Because, you know, the next time we go through this thing like happened at the end of Atlantis to wipe out a whole civilization, I don't think we have enough time as a world to regain the necessary tools to maintain the viability of Earth. I think Earth is then a throwaway, and the souls that are here, including us, of course, will have to go to a different planet, not necessarily altogether, to develop on. And so this is a kind of like we're reaching the point where this could happen. And so how do we change, and how could the Atlanteans have changed? I mean, they were given many opportunities. I don't want you to think that this was like everybody left, waited till the last minute and then destroyed them. No, that isn't how it worked. They were given many, many opportunities. The first thing that needs to be done is that those who are more conscious have to be also more sacrificial. It's called balancing the two sides of spiritual thought. Many people are more conscious or more loving than obviously all these evil dudes running around. But they're not willing to be more creative, more sacrificial, and more freedom-loving, and more freedom-creative, or freedom-defensive, because they have accentuated within their existence the second part of God's mind, somewhat at the cost of the first, so they have an imbalanced spiritual thinking. Now, how do you get imbalanced in thinking? You get imbalanced in thinking, as the Atlanteans did, by the way, by choosing as an aspect of desire to have in a person's thought and feelings, it's more emotional than mental now, to be unencumbered by the destruction and the negativity of others around us. So in other words, it's sort of like the ostrich with its head in the sand principle. And people who are like that, which are numerous in this world today, are the dominant element in the world. There are more people like that who are good people, but who are seeking to, from their own desires, to live a life which is so copacetic and not belabored by the stresses of negative, hostile things going on around them, that they want to believe that the poor souls who are doing all these bad things are just misguided, and if they love them a little bit more, or a lot more, they're going to all change, and everybody's going to, you know, do the kumbaya thing and sort of hug each other, and it'll be a great world. This is not possible. You can't change the darkness in others by living your life only half spiritually, basically living your life through what some people call the second ray nature or the second part of God's mind without balancing it with the sacrificial, the freedom loving, the desire for, we'll say, seeking to be creative, of more of a creator rather than to just let somebody else do it, and the willingness to, and I'm going to say this in a very narrow way, the willingness to fight, if necessary, those elements that are destructive to life and that are evil. So you have a problem here because people can get too wrapped up with and too much in need of seeking to, we'll say, love, but love in a narrow way, love unjudiciously, love in a way that is in ignorance of freedom. And once that takes place, there really is little hope of making a change because the people that can change it are the people that have their heads in the sand. This is the wake-up call. And the lesson comes from the history of Atlantean society. The last 20, 30,000 years of what existed as Atlantis took place because the people who were good, remember, if one out of four are evil, you still got people who aren't evil, you got people who are good. The people who were good and still were actually in the majority wanted and desired too strongly to have love as the fixed element in their life, rather than balancing that love with the willingness to sacrifice even their own lives, if necessary, to prevent evil from being destructive to others and to ensure that all people have freedom, not just them alone or some parts of their own country, which we'll call Atlantis, and to fight for those colonies and the other parts of Atlantis which are being subjugated and destroyed by the evil ones that ruled Atlantis. And you might say, oh, he's just making that up because of what went on in Georgia this week. No, I wrote about this a long time ago. Go read it, please. Honestly, you can read it and you can see that it's the same story. I'm not changing it. This really happened. And if we don't learn from the past, we will suffer the consequences of a very dark future. So it's important for us to realize that there are things repeating themselves today that actually have a basis, in fact, from the past. And some of us lived out those lifetimes then. And so we're getting another chance, but we have to take that chance and do something about it. And I hope that all of you will think about that. As I very quickly tell you, I know we got on a little late today. There was a technical problem. So I wanted to have that few minutes that we lost, but I need to tell you that on Sunday, I'll be talking on 1170 AM, which is an northeastern part of our country, on the astral plane, part one. And if you can't get 1170, you can listen to WDISAM.com at 4 to 5 PM Eastern Daylight Time. So just listen in on that show, and you should be able to hear me talking about that. So for today, I want to sum up this concept. If we're not going to go the way of the Atlanteans, we have got to make a shift in our own consciousness, no matter how much we love, to also be willing to sacrifice, to be willing to fight for the freedom not just of ourselves, but for all people. Because if we lose freedom, it's one thing. But if others lose freedom, it's the ball game. You know, it's like we have to all see that for anybody to be unfree because of our putting our heads in the sand is for all of us to be unfree. Freedom is a thing that is part of the one, because freedom is the other side of love. And we have to have both to exist. Well, I hope this has been somewhat enlightening, and I hope that some of you will want to hear more about this, because I can talk a lot more about what happened on Atlantis in detail. Or you can go to my book, Life and Meaning, and read about it in there, because there actually is a huge chapter that deals with this subject in a lot more detail about the rays and the science and all the other things that I didn't really go into tonight. And it will help you to better understand how it relates to things that are going on right now. Remember, the rays are changing right now. and in a big way. And there's going to be a lot more military problems, as I suggested, and things related to economic pressures, related to energy, etc. All these things are coming about because of the changes in focus on our planet at this time. Okay, well, until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.